You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
All right, boss, whenever you're ready, go right ahead.
Oh, yeah, it's me, Joe Thrashenkill. You're listening to the Toilet of Hell Radio Show. With me today, I'm joined by the internet's enemy. I'm talking, of course, about Brennicide. Brenno, how are you?
You're the hero. I'm the enemy, dude. I am the antagonist to Joe's protagonist. Can I just say that was probably the fucking hardest seltzer open we've had yet on this show?
I'm thirsty.
I got it. Clear as day on the fucking audio. I can't wait to play it back. I'm gonna keep that clip. I'm gonna echo it. I'm gonna distort it, and it's just gonna frequently be played throughout every show whenever something decent happens, like right now. So that's what I'm gonna do.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. How you been, man? How's your week's been?
You know, it's been kind of a mess. I know folks don't actually like give a shit what's going on with me and all, but like I've been wrapping up semesters and taking standardized tests and applying to upper division programs and stuff. I gotta tell you, this shit's for the birds. I don't like it. It's not fun. It actually sucks quite a bit.
What the fuck, you nerd? Drop out like the rest of us and get to work. Just work anywhere. It doesn't matter. Or go to Starbucks. Who cares?
I know. I even got it in my head doing all these standardized tests and stuff. I'm like, I should be a doctor. I should go ahead and take the MCAT and start getting ready for medical school. And the thing that about that is that it seems very expensive and time consuming. Do people know this about doctors?
Yeah, you pretty much either have to A, come from a very rich, white, affluent family, or you have to be come from an Asian family who is willing to risk it all and lose fucking everything to get you into medical school. And those are pretty much your options in America. Just bury your parents in debt or have no debt yourself.
Yeah, I don't think that there's too many like 33-year-old dudes who are kind of bored and thinking like, I guess I should be a doctor. I think those guys probably wash out pretty quick.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, I think my grand fear in terms of the whole career thing and schooling and everything is I've had all sorts of jobs. I've had good jobs. I've had bad jobs. And I guess my greatest fear is that, like, I go to school for years and years. I do all this testing. I do all the certifications. And then I get the job and I just fucking hate it.
Yeah, man. That's kind of been in the back of my brain a bit. But I'm sure it'll be fine. You know, I know that my last like 19 jobs were dog shit, but this next one will be good.
It'll be great. It's got to be, right? Well, what I can tell you is that there's a lot of things you can do. You're going to try to be an RN, right? You're trying to be a nurse.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff. You don't have to just be someone miserable in the ER. There's all sorts of stuff you can do elsewhere in hospitals and medical centers and doctor's offices. Like you could get yourself something really sweet. You never know. So
yeah. And like where my brain's at right now, it's like I do this for a couple of years and then I want to be a physician's assistant because it's like, you know, it's kind of a midway ground. Like you're not a real doctor, but you know, you're not a doctor.
you're making sweet money, as you know, more than we're used to. So that's the fucking goal, man. It's like, thinking of all the medical stuff, I'm up in Massachusetts and you've been dealing with this for a while because you're down in old Texas.
Mm-hmm.
which might as well be a whole other country, but up in Massachusetts, we're very much still the United States. And, only just this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, we have taken off our masks. The mandate is over. And, I was at a wedding last night. Yesterday, that was just everybody was mask free, and it was just I thought I'd be freaked out about it, but it was just like kind of getting right back to how things are supposed to be, which was nice. Every single person in the room promised they were vaccinated, which I'm sure is going to be the norm. Everyone's going to say it, but you know, I wasn't checking cards, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've done a lot of vaccination efforts here in this country, you know, to the, you know, detriment of maybe other countries. But ideally, you know, like a good portion of this place is all vaccinated. If you, you know, reasonably trust the folks around you, you know, you can go ahead and get down, you know, take your mask off and just, you know, bathe each other in fluids for a while and just, you know, like it used to be. It's really nice.
That sounds hot, man. That sounds like how it should be. Just just a nasty orgy of just disgusting fecal matter and fluids and trash. It doesn't get more death metal than that. Like, we should just have a gross, disgusting, zombie-like, bloody, pulsating, massive flesh wreckage of humanity all over the place, like a death metal album cover in every street.
Yeah, just, you know, particulate in every which direction. No, I've noticed because, you know, I guess Texas did away with the mask mandates a while ago, if they were ever really even a thing. And I've noticed that, you know, one of the few things that makes me feel more comfortable in that situation is alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
When once you have a drink, I don't know, it's like, oh, I guess this is all probably fine.
I guess I didn't consider that a factor. It was my brother who got married, so I was at this bachelor party on Saturday, and then he got married that Sunday, so it's just been pretty much two straight days of drinking for this guy.
I really can't believe that you're able to, like, do this show today.
No, oh, my God. You think my body isn't used to just, like, treating itself poorly? I've been riding that dragon for years, man.
So, you know, you said your brother's kind of, you know, like a stereotypical type of, you know, Irish kind of guy. Was he talking a lot of big talk and threatening a lot of people and stuff like that?
Somehow, luckily, we did not end up anywhere where he could have done that. We had started off at, there's this cool little place called Prodigy in East Hampton. Whoop whoop, shout out to Prodigy, great place in East Hampton, Mass, where you go
the fire starter.
Abso-fucking-lutely. You go there and they have like 50 CRT televisions set up, old classic TVs with every video game console imaginable hooked up, and they have this huge library of games behind the desk, and you can ask for anything and you shall receive it. And we just played video games into pretty much till closing time. So we just kind of hung out there for a good long time playing like Turtles in Time and all the shit that matters. And then afterwards we went to the MGM casino in Springfield and lost all our money, and by luck of the Irish got it all back as we got more and more drunk. Because we're just like, Max Better, you're a pussy, do it. And we just, you know, that's how we got it all back. And then eventually my sobriety kicked in and I dragged everybody out of the casino after we won. So
I gotta say, that sounds like the perfect evening with the boys.
It was a pretty good evening with the boys, gotta say.
And now the wedding itself, that went off without any concerns, right?
My brother's not the best planner in the world, and he was left responsible for some things, but I'm not going to trash him too much. he was supposed to do something about music and a DJ, and like months before the wedding, he's like, "Hey, Brennan, you have like a nice Bluetooth speaker, right?" And I have like this little, smaller than a bread box, Marshall Kilburn, and I'm just like, "Yeah, I got that." And he's like, "Oh, okay, cool." And that's like the conversation. That was it.
So that was the plans for the PA for the evening.
The whole PA was this little Marshall Kilburn, man. And like, I really thought this would be like a wedding of like 20 people or 30 people because of, you know, we didn't know whether COVID would still be a thing. Who knows? So it was not. It was like a full venue filling friends and family, 100 plus people sort of wedding.
And, and you're stuck there with your Bluetooth speaker.
My iPad. Look, man, the little thing, it managed. It really somehow managed. But the playlist that he put together was absolute dog shit. Patrick, I love you. I've loved you my whole life. But what the fuck was that, man?
Give me a sampling. What kind of beats were on the box?
Like, just, he just, like, selected random soft piano. And, like, some of like the old 80s jams that you would slow dance to, like "Forever Young, I Want to Be Forever Young," and it's just like, it felt like middle school. Keep yourself a foot of distance apart, hands on the hips, nowhere lower.
Yeah,
kind of a thing. So eventually, I found my like 14 and 15 year old little young teen cousin girls, and I was like, "Listen, he lost his privileges. There's an open iPad over there. Spotify, go wild." And they literally, these two young ladies, Ellie and Natasha, saved the night.
Hell like, yeah. What kind of thing did they change it up with?
Oh, man, I don't know. All the latest dope tracks that all the kids knew the dances to, and all the boomers somehow were able to drunkenly mimic the kids doing the dances to and humiliate themselves. And that's how a wedding's supposed to be.
So, absolutely.
Save the night. Shout out to them as well. But that's just me. We don't have to talk about that all day, man. I am sufficiently trashed. Today is the National Day of Rest, Memorial Day. Let's remember some shitty news that happened this week. Do we have anything like that that we could possibly talk about?
Man, I got a few things here. If you want to, if you want to go through the list. So I think the last time you and I talked, we were chatting it up a storm about old Dave Ellison. You know,
we were, weren't we?
We were, and I think that we more or less we called it what would happen.
Yeah.
Megadeth, I mean, specifically Dave Mustaine.
Dave.
Let's not pretend that this was like any kind of like committee decision.
Dave of Death, Mega Dave.
Yeah, he went ahead and fired his ass. So we were right on that. You know, it's in that comparison we were making a couple of weeks ago, it is worth noting that, of course, Megadeth is better about this than, say, Ministry.
Get the fuck out, you winkler. I don't want any to see those videos anymore on my fucking stream.
But, I mean, it's also worth noting that, you know, Dave has some practice perhaps firing people.
I mean, he does it for just about no reason. If you give him a reason, I'm sure it makes it a lot easier for the guy.
Yeah. So I don't know that there necessarily even needed to be any kind of incident here for this to be the case, because like in the official statement that they gave, it says, we're informing our fans that David Ellison is no longer play with Megadeth. That's what it says. And we are officially parting ways with him. We do not take this decision lightly. While we do not know every detail of what occurred with an already strained relationship, what has already been revealed now is enough to make working together impossible moving forward. So, yeah, he was just like, oh, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I mean, reading more into it and discussing back and forth what we know about Dave and Dave there, the Mega Daves, they haven't always had the a relationship free of rockiness. I mean, I know Ellison had sued him at one point for millions of dollars for like money that Mega Dave LLC owed to Ellison at some point. Years before they buried the hatch, right, and got back.
Yeah, so I mean. I don't know why he came back to the band in the first place, other than, you know, maybe it was another instance of Mustaine thinking like, well, this will be the move that makes this next record really rock, not like the last couple ones.
What made my last album so fucking good? It must have been Other Dave.
So, you know, they probably have a few issues aside from, you know, maybe... one guy goes to a different mega church than the other.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe like a Protestant, Catholic, Baptist thing. You never know.
You never know. But, you know, this is it. And, you know, it was done in a timely manner. It made sense. The statement was not there wasn't anything there that you would look at and be like, huh, that was kind of fucked up or whatever. So overall, I'd give it, you know, a B+.
It's pretty good handling. Great.
Yeah, it's been pretty good.
I'd be pretty happy with the B+ on that sort of report card for sure.
It's a tough test to pass, you know.
Apparently, it gets tougher for everybody every year, and obviously, we'll get more into that with other folks later. But yeah, I think that was the good move. So after that fact, we got a bit more news from the Ellison camp, which is just David Ellison now.
Yeah,
what does he say? He's saying he wants to sue for defamation, okay, following the Megadeth situation, but he's not going for deep pockets here. He's not going for Megadeth.
Yeah, he's essentially, you know, and this is really notable. Like the Megadeth machine includes PR professionals, and the Dave Ellison machine does not appear to do the same. So at first Dave did was he nuked all of his social media channels. He nuked himself off of Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram,
Scorched Earth, got it.
Yeah, all of it. All of a sudden, user does not exist. But anyway, he made a little statement there. He said, "Recently, a very private video was illegally posted on the internet, and false allegations were made against me. The actions in the video were between two consenting adults and were recorded without my knowledge. I am working with the Scottsdale Police Department and their investigation into charges regarding revenge pornography to be filed against the person who posted this video. Also, my lawyers are preparing a defamation lawsuit to be filed against this person. This person will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I am taking this time to be with my family. I wish my bandmates the best with their upcoming tour."
Yeah, well, let's see. According to Arizona state law, non-consensual posting of an intimate photo or video is a felony. Good job on that one, Arizona.
I gotta say, that is right a shocker to me. I would not figure that Arizona would have that on the books.
No, Arizona is usually not the state to get it right. But it says any person found guilty of this offense may face between 1.5 and 3 years in prison, as well as a fine of up to $150,000.
Well, I think, I don't know, there's a statement, you know, the sound and fury of lawyers and police working and all of that. But tucked at the very end of this is, I guess, the most amusing bit of this to me, which is that I am taking this time to be with my family and I wish my bandmates the best with their upcoming tour. Number one, like, I don't think they're your bandmates anymore. They kicked you out of the band. And number two, like, I really would like to know what spending time with your family is like right now with the woman you've been married to for like 27 years, the children that you have that are much older than the person that you were, you know, in a sexual relationship with. And it just seems like, I don't know. It seems like that's an uncomfortable home life right now.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen all sorts of, like, every time you see something like this happen on the internet, you see all sorts of takes from all sorts of people. David Ellison's being called a pedophile. David Ellison is being called just any other man, and it's fine because it's legal. And we've talked about that. I mean, if you consider the law to be your baseline of morality, you're in trouble, right?
Absolutely.
It's just like, man, he did something that was fucking dumb and like fucked up. He's in his 50s. This is a teenage girl, a barely legal teenage girl. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't think the legality of the situation gives him a full pass in terms of, like, you know, how people can respect him or not respect him here. But I was kind of looking up some more news and information on this whole thing. And Max Norman, is that a name that you or anybody else listening is familiar with?
I'm sure somebody listening knows, but that one does not. That's new to me.
Yeah, some guy from Serbia. Oh, yeah, it's not Max Norman. Oh, so he's a Megadeth producer formerly. And he says David Ellefson is probably guilty of what 90% of other musicians out there have done. And he shares his thoughts on Mustaine firing the bassist. This guy looks like a old witch man, which, you know, it's just kind of par for the course of people of this age who are still doing stuff in metal. So the bassist, of course, he denied the grooming accusations because, I mean, as far as what happened, like, it seems to me, and I don't want to speak out of turn here, but it seems to me like this stuff out there about him starting off grooming this girl into her more legal years, that probably didn't happen. It just seems like he cheated on his wife with a legal teenager.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the backstory to, you know, offer an opinion on that. It could very well be the case that was, you know, something that is legal but frowned upon.
Right. So it's like the facts of the matter that we all know about, like, that's kind of what I'm focused on, is just like, man, fucking gross. Like, what are you doing, dude? Like, I wouldn't talk to you if I saw you at a party anymore, you know?
Yeah. No.
It's like, that guy is a fucking sicko. But here's what Norman, okay, super cool Max Norman, producer for Megadeth, making very good records, I'm sure. Such as Rust in Peace, Countdown to Extinction, and Euthanasia. Thanks, dude.
I know those records.
Yeah, some of us have those records. Here's what Norman said. My girlfriend sent me a link to the video. I had no idea, and I didn't know what it was, but I can't unsee it now, and that is the problem.
It's like sending somebody a goatee back in the day.
Yeah. I feel sorry for David, specifically Elvison here. I feel sorry for David. He made a mistake, and it was a silly thing to do. I feel sorry for him. I also have kind of mixed feelings about this. I understand Mustaine removing him from the band. The one thing that Dave Mustaine will not tolerate is being made fun of. The one thing that Dave Mustaine will not tolerate is being made fun of because of his upbringing, I guess, and because of the way he is. I think he thought about this and thought about it. It's a brand he has to protect. I don't know this for a fact. He was probably thinking, I can't go out on stage with this guy because everybody's going to be pointing at him. So I can't really blame Mustaine, but I see both sides of the story. He continues on, I certainly don't think that David Elvison is a pedophile. He is probably guilty of what 90% of the other musicians out there have done at one stage or another. It feels a little weird because he is a pastor and there is this religious thing there as well.
You could say that.
Right. So he goes on again. I see both sides and I don't want to be judgmental about it. I feel sorry for David because it's going to affect his whole life. He has a whole lot of other stuff going on, and it's going to affect that stuff, too. This guy is going to go through a real hard time.
Oh, boy. You know, his statement about, like, 99% of other musicians doing this, too, like, generally we would assume that that's coming mostly from the Warped Tour, but it appears that he's saying that it extends much further.
Yeah, he's saying outright, like, hey, man, fucking teenagers, that's what we're about.
Yeah, that's not so great. I don't think that's such a great defense.
let's maybe throw the truck into the reverse on that one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, if I'm Dave Elvison, I don't want this guy, his statement supposedly in support of me to include the statement Dave Elvison is a pedophile, no matter the context that it's couched in.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's no good. I don't know. I don't know where really, like, Megadeth can go from here. I don't know who they want as a new bassist. I think there was some sort of memeing going around that Jason Newsted was in the thought process for a new bassist replacement. But, yeah, that ended up not being true. I saw this
week. I mean, he's perfectly happy doing, you know, Papa Wheelie or whatever the shit he's calling it now.
If it's not, that's going to be our band name.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see Newsted wanting to have to work again. I don't think he has to work again.
No, he's all set. Fuck that. So moving on, we'll kind of bury this shit now. I'm sure we're not going to hear anything more about this. I'm sure that David Elvison is just like puffing his chest out and pointing fingers and making threats, and he probably doesn't have as much of a case here as he thinks he does. He's just going online and kind of wailing about it.
Yeah, he's calling the cyber police, which is, you know, when someone is confused by the internet, when the internet has a bad reaction to them, that's a common thing for older people to immediately backtrace your location.
You bunch of lying, no good punks, and I know who it's coming from because I backtraced it. And I know who's emailing and who's doing it. And you've been reported to the cyber police and the state police.
Right.
So you better write one more thing or screw with my computer again. You'll be arrested.
I guess we can move on from this forever, which is really just the sort of thing we want to happen from news stories like this one.
One thing I will say before we move on to this is that I have seen a number of memes popping up from this, and it has been truly fucking heinous, man. I think I sent you the worst one that I saw, which is a shirtless Dave Elvison with a bass guitar superimposed upon his body.
Nothing to see here, just slapping the bass.
Oh my god, pretty brutal stuff. And now that that's in the listener's head, let's move on a little bit. I wanted to revisit a story that we had discussed weeks ago, one that I thought it was super interesting and fun or whatever, and apparently, like, a lot of the listeners agreed. I'm talking, of course, about the song "Who I Smoke" with Spinnabins, Wapa Wittichapa, Young Ian Ace, and Fast Money Goon. Mm. That song, of course, used Vanessa Carlton's "A Thousand Miles" as the beat, and as we mentioned, it is one of the most truly disrespectful things I've ever heard in my life.
It was just like a, it was almost like a petri dish of just like pure disrespect experimentation. Like, how far can we really go with just complete shaming and horribleness? I kind of loved it.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the you know, weeks since we did that episode, you know, the two parties involved in this conflict have just been on a complete tear, like recording songs within an afternoon and releasing them, you know, really kind of, if the core of this wasn't, you know, about an actual real life malice towards another party that might result in actual death, would be an incredible creative threshold to just continually, you know, one-upping the other party. But, you know, word of this got back, you know, essentially rival gang units, you know, clapping back at each other. And somebody or several somebodies gave Vanessa Carlton shit for signing off on her song to be used in Who I Smoke. And if you'll allow me, I'd like to allow Vanessa Carlton to clap back, if you will.
Oh, sure. We have statements from Vanessa Carlton in front of us. Let's get into those. What did Vanessa say?
Okay, so she begins her statement with this: "To the white folks that have expressed anger/shock over my approval of A Thousand Miles usage and Who I Smoke, I invite you to ask yourself why you feel this way, and then read this." And she includes a link to an essay within the McNair Scholars Research Journal by Nyambura Ngi from 2016 called "Sharecropping Blackness, White Supremacy and the Hyperconsumption of Black Popular Culture."
It's like, I don't need to read a word of this before knowing what it says, you know?
This is like a heavy scholastic work. And, you know, she, of course, follows up this with, like, "Popular songs accompanied by white violence or tales of white violence aren't questioned. It's considered visceral or cinematic. Here you have, you know, Stuck in the Middle with You playing while a guy gets his ear cut off in Reservoir Dogs, you know, et cetera, et cetera." And I think that it's interesting. Number one, I really appreciate her doubling down on this. Like, I knew what I was doing. Don't fucking question me. I think that stands for something. And number two, I think that it's interesting that she has clearly given this a lot of thought as well. I do think there is a difference between, you know, Steeler's Wheel in fucking Reservoir Dogs and like guys that are, you know, recording themselves at the gravesite of somebody that they murdered. IRL. I think that's a real difference, but yeah. I do appreciate her perspective on this.
Yeah, the juxtaposition there is pretty pretty wide. I mean, Reservoir Dogs was a fictional movie. Nobody really got hurt, okay? These are men that actually had the light leave their eyes as they died in the streets from gunshot wounds, and now they're being rapped about by these fine young men on a golf course who didn't.
It's not really the world I live in, so I'm not able to make a judgment on that other than, like, I don't quite get it. I still like the song, even though it makes me feel a little bit strange about it. That being said, we do not know what kind of crimes Michael Madsen has actually committed in real life, so
yeah,
I don't know that it's the same.
It's probably not the same. But yeah, no, it's a great song. Still funny. It's still really the only thing I want to get involved in. It's just that one song. The Vanessa Carlton sampling is funny to me. I don't really need to go any deeper than that. And I don't think our viewers do either. Listeners, I should say.
No, but I did, you know, I know that a lot of folks were kind of interested in that story. So I wanted to share an update with it that did not go the way that I thought it would. Vanessa Carlton is much more with it than we gave her credit for. So good for Vanessa Carlton.
Vanessa Carlton, real fucking OG. Absolutely. Okay. What else we got? What else we got on the roster? What happened? Went down, right?
Yeah, man. Like, I wrote an article this week for the first time, and fuck, I don't even know, man. I actually sat down in front of a fucking text editor, you know, with the little blinking cursor going off and did the thing. And, you know, I like doing this show because I don't have to think about anything too hard. If something crosses my mind, we can just talk about it. You don't have to form a solid opinion or find facts or anything like that. It's a much easier way. You don't have to crystallize like a thought on something and then people can go back to that later. That's where you get in trouble.
Right. I mean, I there's probably like a cancelable statement from me on every episode, just like put up there for everybody's streaming pleasure. So I don't know. We'll see. But
yeah, but the ephemeral nature of the podcast makes it, you know, it's a little bit more easy breezy, right?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. I haven't written for years. I don't like writing anymore. So I just don't. But I've always liked the podcast and I continue. I don't see myself hitting the brakes on it anytime soon. But let's talk about some guys who are writing stuff.
Well, I mean, this is one of those cases where I was so fucking mad that I forced myself to write, which I hate. So, I mean, the crux of it is this, that, yeah, I don't want to single out Metal Sucks here because they were one of many that did this, but,
right.
Metal Sucks, is one of these specific, media properties, that, acquired, the toxicology reports from the medical examiner's office in Dallas, and published, these pieces, regarding the cause of death of Riley Gale. And you know what they you know, including the documents in there, they mentioned that he had died of a fentanyl overdose. And you know, I feel like that's kind of gross. Like the family had specifically requested that they, you know, maybe don't go digging through this and publish this shit for clicks, but they did it anyway. And I understand that. That's I wouldn't have done that. But it's publicly available. If somebody wanted to comb through the records, they could get it and they could publish it.
Right. It's just kind of the decision to bring it to light in this sort of digestible way that you're going to get with these news aggregation sites.
Yeah.
And it you, like you said, a lot of other news sites did it as well. I know
Pitchfork did it. Billboard did it.
Louder, I think.
Yeah, Lambgoat did it. Like a lot of blogs did this, but you know, I only read one of these. This was the Metal Sucks one, and what really got it to me about this is that Axel Rosenberg closed his article with a plea to the audience to guys, don't do hard drugs, okay? Like they're really bad for you. Don't do hard drugs.
Drugs are bad, MK.
And that was it. Like that was this little bit of moralizing that somehow makes what he did okay. And that really just got me so mad in such a way that I had to sit down and write about this because, you know, when I talked to Riley, he told me years ago that he has to, you know, take painkillers because his back was so fucked up and that he did not even enjoy the shit. He wasn't getting high. He was just trying to stay up enough to be able to do his job.
Yeah.
Which even though he was working his ass off, the band was blowing the fuck up. He was still making less than $10,000 a year. And if you don't have any fucking money, you don't have any fucking insurance or healthcare. So that's what happened. And it's been something that stuck with me since he died, that he was making so many people so happy with both his band and with all of the charity work that he and Power Trip had done together in Dallas. That was how it happened. And I felt like it was not acceptable to leave this out in the air as like, well, you know, this guy died of an overdose, so, you know, kids stay away from hard drugs, because that's not the case. This is somebody that, you know, fell into having to use drugs due to medical concerns and was not able to treat himself through the proper channels, essentially, because he doesn't have any fucking money. And
yeah.
Healthcare in the U.S. is so fucking expensive.
It's fucked, and it's sort of one of the unspoken issues with the opioid crisis is that a lot of these people that are wrapping a fucking belt around their arm and shooting up, they had to start out on opioids that were prescribed to them because we have a huge issue with how the working class gets treated in this country everywhere. I mean, the only reason Massachusetts and Western Massachusetts specifically is such a fucking, is in such a heroin crisis right now is because we're the factory side of the state. These are all working class guys, warehouse workers, construction workers. They hurt their fucking limbs and their backs and everything. And in order to cope with very real pain, they gotta take pills that a doctor gives them. And it gets expensive. The rules are really hard to follow. You can only take so much. If you take too much, your doctor will cut you the fuck off. And heroin becomes a more widely available, cheaper fucking option. So you have like, I mean, it's not just these like this picture you have in your head of people in like drug dens just hiding from the light, shooting up just after begging for money on the streets. It's like guys in construction boots going home and trying to fucking manage.
Yeah, trying to fucking sleep through the night, but you can't because your back fucking hurts so bad.
Right. And that's what happens with Riley here, especially because, like you said, on $10K a year from his band, his humongous fucking band that so many people I knew loved, he didn't make dog shit for money. So that doesn't leave him a lot of options in terms of getting like proper channels of what he needed.
Yeah. And the whole moralizing aspect of this has really killed me, especially for a guy that did nothing but good all his life. So I think that they missed the forest for the trees on this. You know, it's not a guy died because he was taking fentanyl. It's a guy had to take, you know, drugs that were not ideal for his situation because he was in a pathway where he couldn't get the healthcare he needed. And it's been brought up to my attention multiple times since I published the piece. But Chuck Schuldner also died because he could not afford healthcare.
Yeah,
like think of, you know, two of the biggest bands to come out of American metal, Death and Power Trip. Like, what does that fucking say? Like, you don't stand a chance as a musician.
This didn't happen to any of the fucking guys in Iron Maiden, you know, being as old as they are and jumping around like they do, because they can probably get what they need, you know, not only because they make lots of money, of course, but other reasons too. It's one of those things where the silence got broken, but ultimately we were asked not to have to talk about it. And that implied something, you know, the family comes out and says that we all kind of agreed on what happened there. It's just kind of one of those unspoken things, because knowing what kind of a guy Riley was, it just makes it that much more tragic that he was suffering and he had to handle his suffering in a way that the family didn't want to be openly discussed.
So, and I had a tremendous amount of anxiety even publishing this thing in the first place, knowing that the family did not want this discussed. But I could not sit there and see the way that this was being discussed. So I did wrong in that respect, but I felt like the way this conversation was going was completely wrong.
Yeah, and it's just like it's kind of too late, right? Because it's out there, the news broke, the outlets put it out there, whoever decided to apologize and delete their post, which Metal Sucks ultimately ended up doing, it's kind of a moot point, right? Because you're coming into that discussion after the fact, after all that stuff came out. So I will make that qualifier for you in your case in that way. I mean, it does kind of speak about, you know, how hard should we cancel these news outlets for reporting some news that came onto their desk, because this is what they do. You know, this was news about the metal community that was put in front of them, and their job is to report the facts to us that fall within that blanket of metal news. So I just don't know if we can maybe just kind of recognize this as a mistake and not, like, I've seen some pretty harsh takes in terms of like louder.com and Metal Sucks specifically. Like, if you see these guys at a show, kick their ass, don't let them in. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it got pretty, pretty rough there. Just about every comment, wherever anybody could put a comment about them putting up that post, was a pretty vile one. And, you know, I get it, and it had to be brought up to them, and I'm glad that they decided to take down the post and apologize. But, yeah, it was a lot of bad moves all around.
Yeah, I mean, this is the nature of you know, what, you know, the content clearinghouses do.
Yeah.
If there is something that they think people will be interested in, they will publish it. I think that where they really stepped on their own dick was trying to add an editorial to this. I wouldn't have done this shit in the first place if I were them, but that's also, I'm not cut out to be a blogger, man. I'm not trying to hurt a bunch of feelings, to make money. That's not like my thing.
Yeah, no, I get it, man. And don't think for a moment, like, I've saw nothing but positive outcome from your article. I mean, you're gonna have people who will say that you tried to politicize your take on healthcare, but it's just like, man, it gets down to the root of the issue, you know? Like, this is why things went the way they did, and how, you know, Riley ended up a dead man is because of everything you outlined in that article. And I did not see that take come anywhere else but from you. Everybody else was like, drugs are bad, trouble. Like, thank you so much for that. Like,
I mean, fuck, everybody knows drugs are bad. That's one of it's like it's nailed into your head when you're a child, and then you get older and you realize there are wrinkles to that, and that even if somebody does use drugs, that doesn't mean they're a fucking bad person. I mean, don't get me wrong, I know plenty of bad people who do drugs, but that's probably an unrelated issue.
It's like when that there was one of the popular hip hop artists that had died from a Xanax overdose or something, and so here comes Anthony Fantano with his Twitter account he can't stop using, saying drugs are bad. Like, it's just, it's that same fucking energy. It just kind of comes from this place of moral superiority, yeah, over somebody who is suffering in a way you have no idea about. So,
and again, I can't take that from somebody who's been smoking weed nonstop for 30 fucking years.
Right.
You're not better than anybody else because you use a different drug.
Yeah. God forbid you have problems that are hard enough that you might need something stronger, but it's just a shitty situation all around, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't want to bring everybody's mood down with this, but I did want to address it. It still hurts quite a bit. I miss Riley, and I wish that none of this had to happen.
Yeah. I don't think the news gets better from here. That's our job, is to report bullshit in the metal scene. Sometimes it's really kind of widespread, like what was going on here with Riley and his news. Sometimes it's a bit closer to home. People kind of more a little closer to our circle. So we do kind of get into metal Twitter a bit. I wish the news was always better, but, you know, Joe and I, and sometimes Jordan, he doesn't have as much of a stomach for this stuff as the rest of us. God bless him. But there's always kind of this drama immediately among our mutuals, I guess I could say, who are into underground music, who are journalists in the scene, who are record labels in the scene, kind of bit smaller. I mean, like, I would say a popular band on what I call quote unquote metal Twitter would have like maybe 2,000-4,000 followers at the most, kind of.
That sounds about right. Right. And, you know, like, a lot of my favorite acts, like, from the last several years, they're these, you know, bands that don't have a big following. As a matter of fact, we can get into it in a little bit. I want to close the show with one of those bands. Like,
sure.
Because, you know, these guys, they're never going to be, you know, world dominating metal presences, but there's still tons of people putting out shit that is incredibly good. It's just, it's on a smaller scale, and we're the kind of dudes who are on a smaller scale. We will always be on a smaller scale.
Right. We're never, we're not going for the next Blabbermouth. We're not going for the next Louder or whatever. We're happy that way. If we weren't happy that way, you would see us just shamelessly try harder, you know?
Oh, man. You would see us do so much engagement farming. Like, can you name a thrash record that isn't Kill 'Em All?
Give me a band in the Big Four that doesn't have an A in it.
Oh my God. Shit is Shameless.
But okay, specifically, there were some allegations about sexual misconduct, specifically from a vocalist of an old school death metal band that was popular among our peers in metal Twitter. Do we want to call this out by name, or?
I mean, we can just say the name briefly. It's Mortuary Descent. The ex-girlfriend of the vocalist had released a series of claims backed up by text messages that indicated that the vocalist had sexually assaulted her. Right. Which, you know, that's pretty scummy shit, dude. So, you know, that got out immediately. I believe it was the guitar player of the band was like, I'm not playing with these fuckers anymore. I'm out.
Yeah. There's one guy who was part of the band, and he had immediately kind of messaged the band about this and said, like, what's the deal? Are we kicking out this guy or not? I don't know if I want to continue being in a band with this guy. And he received a lot of pushback on that, pretty much to the point that it was like, forget it, we don't care at all. And so he immediately quit the band. And after quitting the band, these geniuses had they forgot to delete him from the group chat.
Yeah.
Proceeded to shit all over him and shit all over the concept of what was happening and say that everybody who was mad about it was virtue signaling and social justice warriors, all the same shit we've heard over and over again.
Yeah, followed up with, you know, they were losing that dead weight and they were going to take over the world now.
We're going to go set Texas ablaze on our tour.
So, I mean, like, seeing all of this shit laid out immediately on social media is really quite a trip. Like, seeing people make really ballsy, really fucking stupid decisions, like, and immediately press publish.
I mean, let's go. I'll go through the timeline briefly. We'll back up a bit. So the allegations were made, right? Immediately. I think his name is Matteo. I can't be sure about that, but the singer, he had just posted like one of those notes on his phone apologies where you screen cap it because the, you know, tweets are too short. So
God, always a sign something great's happening.
Right. So he wrote the note apology, but it wasn't an apology. It was just a denial. He said, these things are wrong. You're trying to ruin my life. It didn't happen. It never happened. So there was that. And then came the thing about the guitarist trying to back out, and he published the group chat messages of the band just being a bunch of shitheads. So just compound failures and over the vocalist said, nope, never did that. The band saying, forget it, we got his back, we're not kicking anybody out, we're gonna take over the world, fucks SJWs. And then the guitarist quit the band, and then the people started messaging the record label that was putting out Mortuary Descent's albums. And
this is where I'm most interested in the story, to be honest with you.
Right. It takes its biggest turn.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's one thing for a smaller band to blow up like this. You know, somebody's a shitty dude in the band. They've hurt somebody. They make some stupid decisions after that, after they've already made a stupid decision, and they start doubling down. But this is actually a record. It's a tiny little record label, right? Life After Death. I've done a couple of things with some of the bands on this record, which gonna have to say it's gonna be a hard pass in the future from anything that is sent my way from Life After Death, because this motherfucker, it's a Life After Death based out of Youngstown, Ohio, and this is the most Youngstown knucklehead motherfucker I think I've ever seen in my life.
I have no information on this town other than this guy. It doesn't look good.
He pooped all over his own dick for about a week straight.
Just absolutely diarrhea cocked all over himself, never stopping.
Nonstop. Basically, everybody on social media with any kind of interest in heavy metal teed this guy up for him to just, again, vomit on his own cock. So he's since deleted pretty much everything he said, and now he's just taking pictures of various shit in his distro for sale. shamed hard enough to completely go back to, hey, you guys like death metal? But he was taking every opportunity to decry what he saw was non-legally actionable things, cancel culture, he said, she said scenarios, debating the definition of the words sexual assault, so generally things that you don't want your dipshit and Pip Vipers record label had to do for you online.
I mean, for God's sakes, like, it's just, there's such an obvious move to take here. Even if you don't really care, like, I can't make you care, man, but it's just like such a fucking obvious road you can take here. Like just such a simple path to go down. You see everybody so unanimously pissed off about this around you, and instead of doing the right thing, objectively the right thing to do, instead of doing that, you say, well, where's the evidence? Where's the proof? I don't have any. I can't say that really happened. And you're like, dude, you're some fucking dipshit death metal record distro that this band just completely doesn't need. I don't know why they got involved with you. You're nobody. You're not going to do fucking anything for them.
Like, bands, if you have $500, I will show you how to make your own cassettes. You don't need to go through a fucking record label for this.
Never. At least not this guy. If Prosthetic emails you, great. Good for you. Fine. But this fucking guy is really who you're going to work with, because he knows how to Google what to do when you don't. What the fuck are you doing?
Yes, I promise you the volume that you need for your independent death metal band. Like, if you guys scrape enough couch cushions, you can do this on your own. I promise you.
Absolutely. I mean, even if you are, this band, they're definitely nobodies now. Everybody just mass unfollowed them. But even if they had a couple thousand people interested, most of those people aren't going to involve themselves with you beyond Bandcamp. It's just the fucking fact, okay?
Yeah.
They're going to buy your album digitally if they like you. They're going to stream it if they kind of like you. Or they're just going to follow you and pretend to like you because you're a mutual with them on Twitter, and this is for a social aspect anyway. And while I'm on it, can we stop pretending to like the music so that the moment somebody comes out as an asshole involved in the music, you just go, I didn't like their subpar death metal anyway. It's like, oh, thank you so fucking much, Lord Christ Messiah of brilliance, like, for your input on the music itself. Thank you.
So I just, you know, I live in my own little world all the time, and it's fun there and all that stuff. Like, until people that I like know and respect were like posting about the show, I had never heard of this fucking band in my life. Yeah, like, I don't know who the Twitter guy was or any of this shit. This is all brand new to me. And, you know, I got to say, seeing all of this, I don't really have an interest in checking out the music to see if it, you know, if it slams.
it slammed fine. It was decent. It was okay. It was enough that I respectably observed them. It was just like this ragtag team of awesome bros that I thought making death metal, and I was proven quickly wrong by the way that all of them reacted to this.
Well, that's okay though, because there are other bands you could conceivably listen to, you know, with your time, if you so wanted to engage with bands that aren't necessarily, you know, Megadeth or Ministry or Metallica or one of those other M bands.
Yeah, that's, and I mean, it just goes to show you, like, I'm always going to be amazed by, like, the compound failures possible within my own scene. And not only just, like, the grand worldwide scene of metal, but, like, people who are immediately in my following and like, you know, adding me on my posts and things like that. I'm amazed what you guys are capable of, some of you, without realizing that shit's not cool.
I guess this is the nature of what a scene is. You know, you've got bands theoretically bubbling up near the bottom, getting some attention, and And then they immediately implode due to their inability to handle any kind of interpersonal relationships.
Yeah, I just look, here's my thing about these sort of allegations is if you err on the side of believing women, which honest to God, man, like they don't lie about this stuff. Because they know they're going to go through it. They know that they're going to deal with a bunch of fucking assholes. You guys prove them right all the time.
Every single time.
Every single time. It's like, you guys are the problem. You prove them right by just trying to make them out as life ruiners of this poor innocent man who might not have done something. And it's just like, you look like nothing but such an asshole. I mean, it's like, can't you just give the benefit of the doubt to a victim instead of like a perpetrator? Doesn't that seem to make a lot more sense? Because you come out looking like way more of an asshole if you're wrong, if you go the other route. Am I wrong on this?
Knowing the way that like band dudes treat women in general, like without even being in an intimate relationship, like,
right.
It's already on notice. Everybody's on notice. I put on Airheads the other day. My wife had never seen it, and you know, she got a kick out of it because, you know, you get to see Steve Buscemi, you know, is a long haired heavy metal bassist and shit, and
yeah.
Brendan Fraser, you know, and Adam Sandler, and Michael Richards, you know, is a bit part in that. We often forget he's in it.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, my point of this story is I had not seen this movie in 10 years at least. But the way that Brendan Fraser treats Christina Applegate, his live-in girlfriend in this film, is maybe one of the most accurate portrayals of like a band dude in a relationship I think I've seen, aside from like intimate partner violence. She's out there working her ass off while he's you know, dicking around on his motorcycle and you know, yells at her constantly. When she goes through all of his trouble to find the cassette tape that his demo was on, he immediately shits on her, and Steve Buscemi calls her Yoko. And you know, like that is about the best portrayal I've seen of a heavy metal relationship in a film.
Yeah, and they don't do this to antagonize Brendan Fraser, right?
No,
like, it's nothing like that. It's just how it's supposed to be. This is how a cool rocker guy is. This is why she likes him in the first place, right?
Yeah. At no point does this change the arc of the film or his character. This is just what it is.
Oh dear. Yeah. It's just, I don't know, man. It's a shitty world, and it gets shittier, and like living in it gets shittier. It's like, can't we just like have each other's backs? Can't we just at least try to do the right thing?
I think about that constantly, Bruno. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it takes, but every single time that you stick up for your boy that has been accused of some kind of heinous crime, you are going to look like a huge fucking dickbag every single time, and everybody's going to remember it.
Yeah.
And, you know, people have much easier ways to save the receipts nowadays.
It's like, it's just not the move, man.
The move.
If the accuser's got receipts of text messages are proving that you're lying, it's bad. I mean, look, sometimes young relationships, they get messy. You don't know what you're doing. And it's like the very least what you can do is own up to maybe acting kind of shitty. At the fucking least, like, don't just deny it and say that this person is out to ruin your life. It's just one of those things where, if you're a guy who does that, it's because you see it successful with certain members of your group and your audience. You're going to see that there's a toxic enough masculine subculture within the culture that you're in that is going to have your back on that.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, dude, women be lying. Yeah, they're fucking up, man. They're fucking crazy.
And I think it all just goes back to respecting the inherent dignity of the people around you, especially the women in your life, because that's often an afterthought for some dudes. Like, if you can do that, you'll probably be okay. I mean, you'll probably like, you know, bad things will still happen to you, but it's not the same. It's just,
yeah,
you know, the typical bad things that happen in life.
I don't know, man. It's like I've been in many intimate relationships. My marriage has been the longest one, and it seems so easy to do the right thing. It just comes so naturally to me. I don't know how it becomes. It's such a hard thing to do for other men, or I don't know what else to say on that. It's just kind of it's fucking gross, man. Like, just if we all respected each other as human beings, regardless of gender, then I think this would be like a lot more fun generally to be a metal person. Like, I don't know why y'all have to be so fucking combatant about the shittiest things.
I'm with you on that. But, you know, in kind of keeping in line with that thought, like, you know, let's do a little bit better. I want to share some independent metal with you that I really dig. And I think that these guys, I haven't heard anything but great things about them. And the music itself has got me. It makes me remember why I like all of this shit.
Yeah, and that's always a good feeling.
Why I still trawl the depths with all of this. So this band, Sun Eater, out of Canada, they put out a record in 2018 called The Howl, The Whisper, The Hunt, and I thought it was a fucking killer record. I named it one of my favorite of the year back then. They just put out a new record. I believe it was Friday. This one's called Chinook. And it is everything I liked about the last one, but even better. These dudes, like, they got out to the tool shed, they worked on their songwriting, they worked on their instruments, and this is like an outstanding fucking record. And I wanna play one of the shorter songs off the record for you, but I want you guys to go check this out on Bandcamp or wherever and listen to the whole thing. I think it's really gonna reward your eardrums for it.
Sick, man! I can't wait to listen to it, and I can't wait to share it. I think we'll wrap it up there, unless you have anything else to say or anything else coming up you wanna push right now.
I got nothing for you. Be nice to each other, for God's sake, please.
Oh, fuck. Be nice. Be good and be metal. We'll talk to y'all next week. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.